Hi there, and welcome to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe. Pastor Joe Jackowitz is the president of First Love Ministries and pastor of Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California. With him are Rich Hormerez and Bobby Hamlin, meeting up for conversation of eternal importance. Join us, won't you, for Bible Talk.
Well, once again, it's so nice having you join us for Bible Talk as we visit together on another interesting topic in our search of the Scriptures. And today, that interesting topic is surviving during evil times. Hi, this is Rich Hormerez.
And I'm Bobby Hamlin. And yes, we're continuing our talk on this important topic. And we're speaking of surviving from a spiritual perspective as opposed to a physical perspective. But this may be referring to these very days we're living in. Now, this is Bible Talk with Pastor Joe, and here to help us sort this out according to what the Bible says about it is, as promised, Pastor Joe, Joe Jackowitz. Hi, Pastor Joe.
Hi, Bobby. Hi, Rich. And yes, indeed, we are living in some very uncertain times, dangerous times, and we need to navigate through these shark-infested waters politically and otherwise around us.
Yes. Now, as we've mentioned, this is a continuation of our talk on this topic from our last program. But if you missed it last week or would like to listen again, no worries. Just go to our website at firstloveradio.org, scroll down to the picture that says Bible Talk, then you click or tap on it, and it'll take you to all of our broadcasts. But you can stay with us and hear this part first, because all of our programs are recorded to stand on their own.
Yes. Now, Pastor Joe, in our last program, we asked you if you see evil times increasing and think that we're in the last days, close to our Lord's return. As we begin today, would you please quickly summarize and remind us of your conclusions?
Well, we started out talking about the end times and how believers need to be fortified against all of the terrible and horrific things that will come against us in the last days, things that we have not really known nor experienced in the United States or in the West since the U.S. has been a nation. But just in the last year, we've had every single wall fall down that has given us security and has reminded us of the blessing of the American dream. And the disciples asked Jesus in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, what would be the signs of the times and the sign of his coming? And he said various things in response, giving certain signs that would come prior to his second coming. But he says, he who endures to the end shall be saved. So in the midst of all of these terrible things happening in that last generation alive before Christ comes again, we're told that we need to persevere through all of it as Christians, and making sure we endure to the very end. And one of the things that we mentioned is the need to be faithful to the Lord, spiritually speaking. That is the main point here. And of course, we're talking about survival from a spiritual perspective, as you mentioned, Bobby. And
yes,
there's been an explosion of pressure and uncertainty and problems that have come upon billions of people around the world because of the trials of the last 9 months with the pestilence and COVID-19 and economic hardship and lawlessness and rioting and so many other things. A lot more people are in doubt about the future. And so how do we survive the emotional, spiritual, physical trials that are coming upon the world? And we talked a lot about the problems of today. We did some history lessons on how over the last 50 years or so, since the late 60s, mid-60s, up through today, how the moral walls and props of our nation have been falling down one by one to the point where now in our nation, in the United States, there are very little moral absolutes that people point to for security and for direction. So we're living in times that require believers to tenaciously and in a very persevering way, cling to Christ and cling to the Lord to help us survive these things. The signs will grow. We will continue to be persecuted as believers and as a church, which we're already seeing an increase in that right now in the United States. And we need to make sure we're as strong spiritually as possible to endure through these tests of faith, through these spiritual struggles and trials and testings that will come against God's people in these end times.
Yes, and I hear from what you're saying that it's not just surviving because of the evil things that are happening around us, but also the uncertain things that are happening around us that give a lot of people a lot of anxiety. And in a sermon that you gave on this topic, you said that extraordinarily evil times call for a tenacious church. Now, what did you mean by that?
Well, the effectiveness of a church is rooted in its life and its love and the truth. And so I think we mentioned some of this last time is the Lord Jesus Christ is the foundation, and he is the source of all life, of all light, and of all love. And we need to cling to him as if we were in a dry and thirsty land. And so we need to be tenacious. We need to be resolute. We need to be steadfast in clinging to Jesus Christ by faith so that the life of our Christianity, the love of our relationship with God, and the truth, that is the truth of Scripture and its teachings and doctrines, are having a very powerful effect in renewing us in the faith. We need life, that is the life of Christ in us, to be renewed every day. We read in Revelation 3 where Jesus said to the church at Sardis, I know your works, that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. So Jesus contrasts spiritual life with deadness or any kind of spiritual deadness. And all of us are tempted on a daily basis to lose or decrease the life of our relationship with God. And so renewing life is very, very important. That's how we steadfastly cling to Christ, tenaciously holding on to him. And then in the church to Ephesus, Jesus says, I have this against you, that you've left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works. And so when a believer is saved initially, usually the love of God is flooding into our hearts and we partake of that love, that agape, divine love, and it's so sweet and so precious. And the love of God is like food. It's like a protection. It's like the joy of our salvation, reminding us of how much God loves us and how much we love God. And it provides for us the ability to love God when he bestows agape love, divine love, into our hearts. And God is extremely concerned that we don't lose that love from when he first poured it out into our hearts. He says, if your love diminishes and grows cold or weak, remember where it decreased. Remember where you have fallen. He defines a diminishing of love as falling from a very important place in our relationship with God. And the remedy is to repent and do the first works. Usually unconfessed or unrepentant sin will cause the love of God to decrease and the accompanying fruits of the Spirit to diminish with the love of God. It'll cause us to be less resistant towards sin and temptation. And so what we need to do is repent of all those sins and things which have hindered God from a fresh outpouring of his love in our life and go back to those spiritual first works, doing those spiritual first works that we did when we were first saved, when we had more of the grace and power of God working in our life to demonstrate the love of Christ to a wicked world, to be filled with the love of Christ so that we have more assurance of our salvation, more joy of the Lord, and more peace with God. Go back to doing those things that you did when you first got saved that stirred up afresh the love of God in our hearts, like Bible reading, Bible meditation, private prayer, and very, very consistent, faithful attendance to the worship services, the prayer meetings, the Bible studies, taking advantage of every outlet God would have available to us to have his love stirred up into our hearts afresh.
Now, Pastor Joe, let's go back to what you said about Revelation 3, verse 2, that says, "Be watchful and strengthen the thing which remains and are ready to die." Now, you did somewhat explain that verse, but it talks about things that remain, implying that things have left. What has left and what remains to die, and how do we strengthen them?
Now, we were told in Revelation that the church at Ephesus had lost their first love. That's what they lost. And he tells them to repent and to do the first works. So once they do that, once they repent and do the first works, they need to be very watchful to guard the love of God that is like a treasure inside their hearts so that that love does not diminish again. And they need to use every means of grace, like the word and prayer, church attendance, listening to sermons, to strengthen that love, to strengthen the life of God inside of our hearts, the presence and power of God's Spirit working inside of us. We need to strengthen and increase God's peace and all of the fruits of the Spirit that are freshly restored when we repent of sin and when we trust in Jesus Christ to rekindle the fruits of the Spirit in us. And so we need to strengthen those things that are weak, that is the fruit of the Spirit, the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God. Whenever those fruits and the life and light of God's Word and the love of God in us grow weak, we need to stir them back up. We need to rejuvenate them. That's what it means when it says, strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. If you don't strengthen them, they'll get to such a low ebb, a low level, that all kinds of doubts and will flood into your heart. You may even doubt that you're saved. And you'll find yourself having strongholds of sin and bad habits come back in with fresh strength again to torment you and to distract you and to sidetrack you from your spiritual priority. So when he says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, he's talking about the spiritual life that God has given you when you got saved and the love of God, which tends to grow weak, and all of the other spiritual fruits in us that are renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to strengthen those things through the means of grace he has given to us.
You're listening to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe. Now, perhaps you have a question you would like to ask. You can do just that by simply emailing us at firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. You can also send in your request to First Love Radio, P.O. Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. Or simply go to the Contact Us section on our webpage and ask your question there. And be sure when you contact us to indicate that it's for the program Bible Talk. We'll repeat this contact information at the end of our program. For now, let's rejoin Rich, Bobby, and their talk with Pastor Joe.
We live in extraordinary times, as I mentioned, and those extraordinary times we're living in demand extraordinary efforts, a spiritual discipline. The routine approach to walking with God may not be enough. We need to spend extra time in the Word, extra time in prayer, We need to re-examine our lives for any worldly habits that have come back into our life unnoticed. We need to cut out of our life any sinful or worldly or satanic things we're looking at or doing that would weaken us spiritually. I would also add that the first thing we should do is daily Bible study and meditation, as I mentioned earlier. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither." So when you spend much time in Bible study and Bible meditation, I'm not talking about just reading a paragraph from your daily bread. I'm talking about reading much of the scriptures, chapters, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 chapters of the scripture every day. And don't read them quickly like you would a newspaper. Don't skim them, but read them in a quality way where you're meditating on what you're reading. By faith, you're looking for the Holy Spirit to reveal the presence and power and truth of the person and work of Jesus Christ from your Bible reading. And this will give you extra strength to be able to endure a lot of the trials. Plus, secondly, you need to pray in the Spirit. We're not talking about a prayer life that is reduced to just praying before meals or before you go to bed. You recite the old saying, "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep." I'm talking about going into a private place like your bedroom or some other private room and sitting down, standing up, or getting on your knees and pray. And telling the Lord that you don't know how to pray as you ought, asking the Lord to give you the assistance of the Holy Spirit so that you can pray as you ought to pray in the Spirit, where the Holy Spirit assists you, the Holy Spirit helps you, the Holy Spirit guides you to pray what you should pray for. He gives you words. He gives you a spiritual level of liberty so that you can avoid the distractions and really concentrate on the Lord and worship and praise and adoration, thanksgiving, all of those critical components of prayer that make up worshiping the Lord with love in your hearts, which we do not do natively. The Bible says that we're to build up ourselves on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 6:18 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." We're living in extraordinary times, Bobby. I know you know that. I know Rich knows that. And we need to spend much more time in our Bibles, reading and meditating, in prayer, you know, more than just a minute or two here and there. But we need to go deep with God in prayer so that God can pour out his grace deeply into our hearts. The third thing we need to do is renew God's love for us, as I mentioned earlier. Renew God's love for us in prayer. God says in Romans 12:2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So we need to renew our minds. Well, what do we renew? Well, we not only renew the truths that we forgot if we were backslidden or had not read the Word of God for a while, we do renew our spiritual memory of the importance and the urgency of these spiritual principles that we need to follow very closely and obey God in, but we also renew the fruit of the Spirit. Not we, but the Holy Spirit comes and he revives and awakens love, peace, joy, long-suffering, and all the other fruits that have become weak or dormant because we have not spent the amount of time necessary in the Word and in prayer that whereby the Holy Spirit would work through to stir us up and drastically increase the spiritual life and power of these things in our life.
Yes. Now, you mentioned that we're in extraordinary times. And This talks about this time when we need to strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. Do you believe that that's where we are now, or that we're heading there now, that we're in those last days, so to speak?
Yes, I do believe that. Now, of course, Bobby, no one knows the day nor the hour of Christ's return. Anyone who says they do is wrong, because Jesus said no man knows the hour or the day. And we will know, however, the general signs of the times. We read in Scripture that I would not have you be ignorant of the coming of the Lord. We read in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, in 2nd Timothy. We read in Matthew 24 and Luke 21, in the book of Revelation, and in the book of Daniel. We are given certain signs, certain landmarks in time that would single out the end times generation from all previous generations in terms of the drastic increase of the signs in the weather, in the nations, in the world, wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, pestilences, changing of moral foundations that will be reversed and overturned, where they will call good evil and evil good. In the end times generation, there will be such drastic changes in moral and ethical standards and principles that have been long held in agreement by every generation and every empire, every civilization since the beginning of the world. They will be thrown out the window, and there'll be such a marked increase in the wickedness and evil of this generation, the end times generation. And we're seeing that come to pass before our very eyes over the last 30 to 40 years. We're seeing all these things come to pass that single us out head and shoulders above every other previous generation, where in our generation, there is a vast increase in the intensity and frequency of the signs compared to the occurrence of these signs in previous generations, and things that have happened before that have never happened, in terms of man trying to dethrone God and take control and actually act as God, with all the changes in science and all with the cloning and genetic engineering and all these things that man has never had the audacity and the brazenness to usurp the place and authority of God, or shall we say the chutzpah, to believe that they can create a human being or an animal or any kind of life when only God can create life. So yes, I do believe we're in the end times. I do believe we're living in that last generation, whether it be one day or a week or a month or a year or a decade or several decades or maybe longer. I do believe that some of those listening to this program will see the physical return of Jesus Christ into the world. How much worse can things get? God likens the atmosphere and moral spiritual climate when Jesus comes again. The moral climate of the world will be likened only to one other generation, which is Noah's generation, when the thoughts and the intents of man's heart and mind was only evil continually. And God regretted that he made man, and he destroyed the earth by a flood, except for eight people, Noah and his family, who were saved in the ark. And he destroyed the world by water. We're seeing evil and sin and wickedness when coupled with science, when joined with science and creative graphics and digital communications, visual and audio communications, music, and on every level, all of the modern inventions, including the internet, are employed to skyrocket evil to levels that this world has never seen, except in that generation in which God destroyed the world by a flood. Things can be done in privacy. Any perversion, any wickedness, any form of evil can be practiced and observed in private without one leaving his room, without anybody knowing about it. Of course, God knows about it because he is everywhere and he sees everything. But this has never been such a situation that people can do that except in this generation. Sin is increasing and multiplying exponentially to levels only that rivals that generation in Noah's day. And so those are some of the reasons why we know for sure we're in the end times, including the recreation of the nation and state of Israel again in 1948. That's another huge landmark as well.
Yes. You know, Pastor Joe, along with this end times, and you mentioned Matthew 24, in verse 12 we're told that because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Now, how are we to maintain a godly love for others as wickedness and hatred toward us, believers, increases?
Well, I think the first thing is that we should maintain a very healthy level of the fear of God in our lives. Well, we're living in a society where the worst kinds of evil are passing before people's eyes. When you think about all of the screens, the visual outlets that people have available to them, the falling down of any kind of standards completely, where the reins and boundaries against sin are no longer there, we see that the worst kinds of evil are engaged in. And I think if we as Christians allow for a daily and even frequent times throughout the day exposure to not only just a minute or two or a fleeting image, but hours and hours of our minds being exposed to these images. You know, the Bible says that if your eye is full of darkness, your whole body is full of darkness. So
whatever
you see, whatever goes in eye gate or ear gate or mind gate or heart gate, that's what you're going to be like inside your heart, inside your spirit, inside your spiritual man. So it's important to maintain a healthy sense of the fear of God. Flee these things. Flee fornication. Cut off all these images and screens from your life. Exercise spiritual discipline every day. Immerse yourself in the Word of God and prayer.
Interesting conversation around provoking questions and answers to help us search the Scriptures and grow in our walk with Christ. Here on Bible Talk with Pastor Joe Jackowitz. Now, we all need to be grounded in the faith in order to have a firm foundation. Knowing what we believe and why we believe it enables us to share God's truth with those who need Jesus. Author Robert Jones has put together a book entitled Questions and Answers for the Seeking Soul. We're offering it free for the asking. This book will point you to God's Word through a collection of topics with questions and answers to reflect on. It can help you to both establish answers to any spiritual issues for yourself and to share your faith with others. You can read it straight through or in parts as a reference guide to help seek the answers to questions that arise in your search through the Scriptures. To request your copy of the book, Questions and Answers for the Seeking Soul, absolutely free without any obligations, and that includes shipping, simply request it by email at firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. Or by going to our website at firstloveradio.org and click on the Contact Us button at the top of the page. And then for those of you who feel more comfortable writing to request your copy, our mailing address is First Love Radio, P.O. Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. Also, if you would like to ask questions of Pastor Joe or share your comments, again, our email address is firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. Or simply go to our Contact Us section on our website at firstloveradio.org to ask your question, leave a comment, or to order your free book, Questions and Answers for the Seeking Soul. Again, we're delighted to have you join us today. We encourage you to come back again next time and invite a friend to listen to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe.